This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, John Olson, have you even thought about it?
Oh,
do you
yeah.
remember Mandela dying in prison or surviving his prison term? I'll tell you something, because we brought this up before. I don't recall you ever even thinking about it. That's just me.
No, I remember him being in prison, and I don't remember his death, but I do. I know people who you know, personally, who remember watching it and feeling that way, and I do believe in the Mandela effect. I have my own, like the Berenstain Bears and the Berenstein Bears. I remember it differently than how it is now. In fact, I can't even remember right now which one is the one that's right now, if that makes sense. So there's quite a few of them. One that happened to me that really shocked me is when Jason Lee died. That was Bruce Lee's son, and he died on the set getting shot with it was supposed to be a prop gun, but he died. Something was jammed in there, and he died from the shot. I remember he was one of my favorite actors, and I was really upset. And the big deal for me was that he had died the exact same way his dad had died. I remember people talking about, oh, that's how his dad died, was a fake prop gun and all of this. And then, you know, a few years later, I'm like, oh, well, yeah. I mentioned to somebody, somebody mentioned Jason Lee, and I said, yeah, he died just like his dad. And they're like, no, that's not how Bruce Lee died. He died of meningitis or something like that. And I'm like, no. And I look it up, and sure enough, he had died of a sickness and not being shot. And so that was really a shock to me, because I remember reading the articles and everything, and that is how Bruce Lee had died. So I definitely believe in the Mandela effect, and that there's something strange going on that way.
Do you all remember the death of George Reeves the same way? He was the actor who plays Superman, and he died in 1959, presumably from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. There's a book called Hollywood Homicide that tells the story, and there have been a number of little news episodes about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic thing being two stories. One, if you remember this, having been typecast as Superman, being a man in his mid-40s who never really had much of an acting career beyond B-movies, gets fame and fortune but wants to do something else, and he can't because he's Superman. That's one thing. That's why he became frustrated and killed himself. The other is, no, things were going well. He committed to two more seasons of Superman, and with a pay increase, his production company would be involved. He would be directing episodes, as he did in the final season. He directed two episodes. They was going to get into more creative aspects, and maybe that would lead him into a career after Superman, but he doesn't have to act. He could, because he wasn't that great an actor anyway, he could direct, whatever it is. That night, he's dead of a gunshot wound. But then we have these mysterious bullet holes, and then we have a story that he was dating some movie executive's wife who may have been pissed off and therefore arranged for his death, or that he had guns with blanks and he accidentally shot one off while drunk, not realizing it had a real bullet in it.
Oh, right. I remember that, actually, reading about that.
Of course, and there is the curse of Superman.
Right.
I don't mean being typecast. I mean Christopher Reeve having an accident riding a horse and being crippled.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But most of the rest, I think, is if you are, especially in the old days, not so much now, but in the 40s, 50s, 60s, you get a major role that identifies you, like an actor named Kirk Allen, who played Superman in two movie serials. He had no career after that.
Right.
I mean, I think George Reeves was a better actor as Superman. He had that twinkle in his eye as Clark Kent. He defined the character much more than Christopher Reeve. But couldn't get any other parts. George Reeves, who knows what would have happened there. But we have actors so identified with a single role, that's it for them. probably true with the Star Trek crew, the original ones.
Yeah, the original ones probably had that issue, except for a few of them. Yeah, definitely.
I was a little bit before my time, but I do remember a movie called Moonraker. It was one of the Bond movies.
And oh, yeah.
There's the Dolly with braces scene. Now, I'm one of the people who remembered Dolly with braces. And they have gone through the film archives and never happened. But even the actor who played Jaws, I think it was, Richard Kiel, he remembered the actress with braces. Mm-hmm. And he maintained that that's the way it was until he died, apparently. I mean, this could be just, you know, who knows, Hollywood news. But still,
right.
You know, pretty interesting stuff.
Well, Richard Kiel was a smart guy. We forget that because we think of his role as somebody being a brute. But no, he was an intelligent guy. He found something that, after playing small roles, made him a cultural figure. Plus, people understood he wasn't bad.
Right.
That he was basically fundamentally a nice, decent guy. And that really helped in terms of making public appearances. I remember his girlfriend having the braces, even though allegedly that did not happen. I remember it seeing the film. I was seeing the sequel where he appears again. This time he becomes heroic. You know, from being the villain, he becomes heroic.
Right.
He therefore is reformed and he gets the girl, but she had braces. I remember it so distinctly, but allegedly it didn't happen. I have another instance which nobody remembers because it's personal. A friend of mine, Larry, and I are teenagers. And we see something in the sky, and he said, that's a UFO. And he maintained he saw something really strange. All I remember is a cloud formation. And one day I said, you know, Larry, it's just a cloud formation. That's all it was. It wasn't anything strange. It wasn't a spaceship or some unknown flying craft. He never talked to me again.
Oh no.
I don't know what happened to Larry. Yeah. He's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
If he's still alive, because, you know, as we get older, we lose a few. There are a few of those people who just, I don't know where they are. But in this particular case, I'm sure of all the things that happened to anyone in their lifetimes, seeing a strange cloud formation that you might have mistaken for a UFO is not the most critical thing, but still.
Right, right. Well, and it's interesting because I've interviewed people who have had their own personal Mandela effects. For example, in my new book, I interviewed a gentleman who he grew up in Missouri, and he remembered there was an old farmhouse on the other side of this little, you know, field where he grew up, and an old couple bought it, and him and his dad walked over and talked to him, and they were trying to decide whether they were going to tear it down and build a new house or restore it, and they actually decided to restore the building. So they restore this old farmhouse to this beautiful, you know, home. The newspaper comes out, you know, takes pictures, interviews them. He spends, you know, his high school years mowing the lawn for this old couple. He moves away. His family moves out of town. Many years later, he happens to be going through that part of Missouri with his family. And he's like, oh, let me show you where I grew up. So he takes them to his old house and shows his kids. And he notices that on the other side of the field is this brand new home. And he's like, well, that's weird because I remember them restoring it. And he's like, well, maybe it burned down and they had to do it. So he gets really curious and knocks on the door. And he says, you know, I'm really sorry. I grew up over there. I'm just wondering, you know, what happened to the old couple here? And the lady that answers goes, well, that was my parents. And I took the house after they passed away. And he said, well, what happened to the old farmhouse that they, you know, restored? And she goes, oh, they tore that down in the 80s and built this home. And he's like, no, that's not what happened. And even, you know, he was so disturbed, he went to, you know, to the library to find the, couldn't find the news article, couldn't, you know, none of this, the family had passed away, but the, you know, in the reality now, that the older couple, instead of restoring the old home, tore it down and built a new home. And he's like, that is not what I remember. I mowed the lawn on that old house. I remember being in that old house and how beautiful it was and everything.
Okay, we're going to Cross Realities again with John Olson, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The Mandela Effect. realities being different for different people. It could be the fact that our gray matter is just very imperfect, and so we remember things differently. Or it could be that anomaly in the matrix, as they say, that there are deliberate or accidental bugs in the system. And what that means is different people perceive different things, or that we constantly cross realities.
Right.
And sometimes the people we're around cross different realities. So when you debate, no, it didn't happen that way, it happened this way. And the reason it happens is that, as far as the individual is concerned, that's what happened to them, even though it may have been in the other reality.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about the James Bond with the braces, not braces. And it's funny, when I heard that one, and I had remembered the braces as well, watching it. I was born in 75, so it was around the time I was born, but I remember watching it. My dad has always been a huge James Bond fan. He watched the movies over and over again. And I remember I went over and talked to him, and I said, I want to ask you a question. And I said, now, in Moonraker, I can't remember if it was Moonraker or whatever it was, when Jaws meets that girl. And I said, what bonded them together? What was it, the part of that scene? And he goes, well, when he smiles and he's got his metal teeth, and then she smiles and has braces, and that's what just makes that whole scene. And I said, what if I told you that never happened? And he's like, I've got the DVD right here, and he had made me throw the DVD in and scoot it to that, and he was in shock, because, again, like everybody else, and he'd seen that movie not millions of times, but over and over again as one of his favorites, so it's very interesting.
Background, Richard Kiel, born in Detroit. He died at the age of 74 in 2014. He worked as a bouncer and a salesman for cemetery plots. Before he broke in Hollywood, yes.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that, that those would really do me much good on your resume to get a movie acting career going, but it sure worked.
Well,
for
he was
them.
7'2", so you have to think, other than any normal profession he might have had, he certainly stands out.
Right. Yep. I think it was Harrison Ford was a carpenter when he was chosen by Spielberg or some. Oh no, it wasn't Spielberg that did American Graffiti.
George Lucas.
They chose him.
Lucas for Star Wars.
That's right. So it was very interesting that he was a carpenter and got chosen from there. He didn't go looking for acting; it came and found him. So
yeah, he's a pretty cool character. I guess I've heard that he actually has a pilot's license too. Flies a helicopter or something.
Yes, he does.
And had been rescuing people in the big flood that was down in New Orleans. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, there you are stuck on the roof of your house, and along comes a helicopter, and there's, Han Solo is reaching out. Okay, we're here to get you. Don't worry. We'll be,
Yeah, that's awesome. He lives, has a house in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is about 80 miles from here. And I just off the cuff, there was a lady I talked to who had met him. He'd stopped at a gas station to get gas. This is back in the 80s, late 80s. And she's like, boy, he looks really familiar. And he handed her the credit card. And she said, well, this one's expired. And he just threw it in the garbage and then paid with another one and left. And she's like, boy, he sure did look familiar. And she pulled out the credit card to read the number on it. And it was Harrison, and she about died. She's like, oh my gosh, I just met Han Solo and didn't know it. So
You could almost frame that little credit card.
I know, right?
Well, Harrison Ford was here. If that's legal, I don't know.
Right, I have no idea, but.
Okay, so the three of us then are apparently from alternate universes.
Yes.
Because we remember Dolly with braces. So, and now, it can't just be glitches, like random bugs, I don't think. Because, I mean, what kind of a bug in a system would create a whole family life history for someone who remembers actually doing something like mowing the lawns at this home?
Right.
It sounds like, I mean, I suppose in the universe, if that's happening, anything could happen. But it sounds like it's way too planned and way too coherent. It's not just some fuzzy amorphous glitch that happens. This is way bigger than that.
Yeah.
So what's going on then, John? Are we, how many people in the world really are actually from another universe, but they don't know it? They just think this weird thing happened to me, but really they're not from here.
You know, I had this funny thought. I have a background in IT a little bit, and my thought was, you know, we were all in different simulations in the room, and they're like, ah, we're running out of space. Oh, well, these three servers are really close to the same, so just merge those three servers together, those three programs from the server. They're close enough, they'll never know the difference.
Oh, yeah, we'll never know the difference.
We need to make more space. Well, yeah, these are close enough. Merge these into one program, and we'll make some space here. Anyway, I don't know. It's just crazy. Maybe it's, like you say, it's something that we can't even comprehend, or maybe it's something that, as simple as that we are in a program. Somebody mentioned that it's actually our descendants running a program to see how their ancestors used to live, kind of a thing. So
sure.
Then pop in and say, oh, well, you know, this is, maybe we live kind of like in Westworld, the television show. We don't know it, and we're living in somebody's amusement park, and they just pop in and out, and we're not programmed to understand or what's going on. So who knows?
Well, maybe the people from the future are time travelers, and they're doing all sorts of stuff with the time stream. And the changes they make cause problems. They cause anomalies. It's kind of like the TV show Legends of Tomorrow, mm-hmm. where they drive around a spaceship called Wave Rider, run by a talking computer named Gideon, and they go back through time to right wrongs, but they are not perfect, and therefore when they fix what's wrong, they sometimes, and quite often, create the plot for the next show, which is to fix what they screwed up.
Right. That's could well be something like that.
I think that makes for good sci-fi, but the thing is when you look at it from the way it would have to work, they're not going back and fixing the same universe anymore, because as soon as they change something in the old one, they've created a new timeline. So maybe the universe where they fix things will go on and evolve, but they're not really fixing anything at all, because the other past has already happened. It's just on another branch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good trope for sci-fi. It makes people think a little bit, but you know, I wish someday they would really kind of get that part right. You know,
right.
For us crazy people out here who actually think about that stuff way more than they should.
Before we get into more detail here, we have to do a quick break. We're going to have John Olson back for, he'll be right back, for After the Paracast, and we'll be exploring new realities, new frontiers, strange mysteries from time and space, anomalies, software bugs. That's all it is. I still think we're all software bugs here. That's the truth, right, John, Gene, and Randall? You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
On the 15th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, President Trump is visiting Louisiana to survey the damage that Hurricane Laura left behind.
Yesterday, I approved a major disaster declaration that helps individuals and business owners, which is a little bit different, but it goes right to the individual. And I've signed that already, and so you're all set to go on that. FEMA has delivered 2.6 million liters of water and 1.4 million meals.
He later arrived in Texas, where 16 deaths have been reported between both states. Democratic nominee Joe Biden spoke to members of the National Guard from his home in Wilmington, Delaware.
You do everything we ask of you. You place your communities and your country ahead of your personal comfort. And when the need arises, you leave your families and your jobs and drop everything when the call comes.
This is USA Radio News. The actor that brought the comic book hero Black Panther to life has died. USA Radio's Kenneth Burns reports.
Actor Chadwick Boseman lost a four-year battle with colon cancer. It started at stage 3 and then progressed to stage 4. In addition to earning worldwide acclaim as the superhero, Boseman also brought baseball legend Jackie Robinson to life in the film 42. The actor also had a viral moment when he hosted Saturday Night Live when he brought the leader of Wakanda into a Black Jeopardy sketch. Boseman was surrounded by his wife and family when he died. He was 43.
A 25-year-old Nevada man appears to be the first documented case of COVID-19 reinfection in the U.S. Researchers reported that a patient who tested positive with the virus in April, then tested negative twice afterwards, was reinfected with the virus in May. Researchers found both illnesses were two genetically distinct iterations of the same virus. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So I just think we're just all software bugs. Because some of the things that are going on right now, that could not be reality. And don't get me started.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I look at it as the fact that the Kardashians still have a show and people watch that. That's got to be a sign that there's something wrong with the universe. Is that terribly mean to say that? But
there may be some fans in our audience who will say, I'm not going to listen to the Paracast again because they don't like the Real Housewives of New Jersey or the Kardashians. I don't know anything about those things except Daddy Kardashian was also one of the lawyers in the OJ trial, right?
Yeah.
He's a pal of OJ.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You see, there's another reality in which he's innocent. No, don't get me started.
Well,
oh, boy.
Before we go on too much longer here with everything else and get to the end of the show, I mean, I think we've covered this quite a bit here, but we do have a question in our question bank from one of our forum posters, very intelligent, well-informed person, Marta. And he asked, I'd be curious what your take would be on Kiel's idea of window areas.
So I know I've read quite a bit of Kiel, and I know that his explanation on the Mothman is a higher form of being trying to warn us, kind of a deal like that. And then, so I'm not 100% sure what he's talking about with that exactly.
No, well, he didn't elaborate, but I sort of get the impression that it's pretty much a lot of what we've been talking about, how out in rural areas and wilderness areas, there seems to be these places where weird things happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're related to things like ley lines and portals. And there seems to be maybe a vertex of paths that cross that are somewhat paranormal that make it stand out more than others.
Right. And I know it was explained like this in certain aspects of, if you were stuck in traffic in a city and the traffic was slow and you didn't know why, but somebody who was standing on top of the building could see you were stuck in traffic and that there was an accident, and if you just turned off the road and went one block over, you could avoid all of the mess. The person on top of the building isn't a god. He just has a different perspective on what's going on and has a wider view of what's going on. And he's no different than you, just a different perspective. And that's kind of how they were trying to explain the Mothman showing up right before, say, you know, the bad bridge collapse, or showing up before bad accidents or stuff like that, if that makes sense. And that might be what he's talking about a little bit with Kiel. That was his idea of beings that might try and predict or prevent future accidents.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean, there do seem to be these places where things happen more than others, and we tend to think that from a demographic perspective, that if these things are happening to everybody, they should happen where there's higher degrees or distribution or density of population. You guys will have to excuse me a bit here for being a bit scatterbrained. I was up pretty much virtually all night working on my music project, but it's not like that. So where there's high population density, you don't see as much paranormal activity as out in the rural areas where there isn't much density.
Right. Right. And I wonder how much it has to do with background noise. Because I know when you're in the city and when you've lived there for a while, you have to tune out an awful lot just to make it through. But I'm kind of biased on that. I live out in the country and have my whole life. I would have a hard time living in the city just because of all the background noise. But maybe it's because you're more in tune when it's quieter. But that's just one thought on it. But yeah. I know that paranormal things do happen in the city, but whether, like you say, it seems to happen more out in the country and out when you're alone or in small groups.
Right. Yeah. Like, I've never heard of a window area in a city. Well, I mean, we've heard
right.
stories like, you know, 13th floor or whatever. There's this weird spot, you know, or, you know, and I guess there are some haunted buildings.
Right.
In cities, like, or at places that are known to have strange things happen to them. So maybe, but is that a window area, or is it just, oh, that's the haunted house or the haunted hospital or something like that?
Right. And a lot of times I think that when you have an area, maybe in the city or whatever, and it has the reputation of being haunted and people go there looking for ghosts, I think that you're more likely to take something out of context that may not be paranormal, but you feel like it is because you're in that area and that's what you're expecting, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there you're talking about the background noise again. How do you go about sifting out the signal from the noise when it comes to all of these stories? I mean, some of them are wonderful on their own, but really, how do you know that they're true? Like, what's your process for sifting that out?
So I'll interview the person, and I'll go back and read it a couple times and go through it. And I have to go off of gut, my gut feeling on it. Just the feeling I get when I talk to the people. I like sometimes to do a Skype or on the phone. I really like to do it in person, but that's not very possible, especially now, in this day and age. But I just have to go off gut. And there's stories too that, you know, I've written up and they're all ready to go. And, my wife and my publisher will help me, or my editor will, they'll be like, oh, we're going to bump this one for this one. And they help me kind of decide, you know, which ones will fit best and the flow of the book. But when it comes to, you know, do I believe them? You know, am I going to write it up and share it? I just have to go by my gut.
Yeah, I would have to agree that after enough people, that's what really does start to shift your opinion that something is really happening. I think that's what happened with J. Allen Hynek. when he was investigating UFOs. He started off very skeptical, thought it was a case of war nerves. But after interviewing so many people, he finally came to the conclusion. It's like somebody finally turned the light bulb on. No, not all of these people who are so sincere can be just making this up in order for some sort of personal gain or attention. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. Yep, exactly. And like you say, there's a lot of things out there. You know, I have a hard time believing in coincidence. And when two different people who have never met each other and have no idea of their story tell me that they experienced the same thing, and, you know, to them it's strange and unusual and way out there, but they match up with somebody that they've never met who's had a very similar experience. To me, that definitely, you know, puts an air of truth into it. The you know, this person has no idea that I've interviewed somebody else who's had that very same experience.
Are you talking about the same experience of a particular event, or just another experience that is similar to one someone else has had?
So I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
I interviewed a gentleman who on the Cache National Forest. This has been a long time ago. He woke up in the middle of the night. He was camping alone with his dogs, bright light in his camper. He goes out to see what's going on, a hum in the air, and about 100 yards from his camp is a UFO that is drawing water up out of the creek into the ship. And it does that, and then all of a sudden the hum shuts off and the light shuts off and some of the water falls in, and then the ship leaves, takes off, disappears. So I interviewed that guy, and that guy, it happened in the early 80s. And I had not published that, or actually not even talked to anybody about that. And he definitely didn't, because, you know, he wanted his name changed. He wanted everything. If I do ever write that story.
Okay, let's break it here. And then we'll go into story number two with John, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So this is the final segment of our visit with John Olson, but he'll be right back for After the Paracast, which is a special feature of the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus for more info. You talk about this episode, John, and then you talk to somebody else who would not be familiar with the first story.
Right. So he had had an experience that was 80 miles away from that up in Idaho, 20 years different. He was camping or stopped for the night in a canyon, sleeping in the back of his truck, waking up to a light. He gets out. There's a hum. There's a ship drawing water out of the river, sucking it up. Same thing. The hum stops. The light stops. The water drops back in. The ship disappears. The only difference between the two is the first one was a round circular ship, and the other one was a triangular-shaped ship. But other than that, two people who have never met each other 20 years apart had the exact same experience, other than the shape of the ship. That kind of solidified when I first one, then the other, that these people were telling, to me, telling the truth of their stories.
That is super interesting. Okay, we've got these aliens coming down in these ships, UFOs. It's almost as if we're just part of the wildlife. We're incidental to whatever it is that they're doing at the time. Like, they need to get some water, to refill their tanks, or whatever it is they're doing. It's just like we might go out into the forest with a canteen or something to fill it up from a stream, and we got to get to the stream, we got to fill it up, and that's all there is to that. If there happens to be, you know, a bird's nest or an ant pile over there, well, you know, that's really inconsequential to us as long as we don't step directly in it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's just amazing of how somebody from another world may look at us and, you know, we're cavemen to them in everything that we're doing. It's interesting that it seemed like a lot of the stories of contact and UFOs increased after we started testing with nuclear weapons. So,
right, yes, the whole nuclear weapons theme has been definitely one that's been up front and center in the contactee movement. That's for sure. I mean, what do you think of contactees? I mean, we know that some of them have got to be just hoaxers, right? Mm-hmm.
With there's so many, there's got to be some that are telling the truth. I guess there's a way of saying that definitely telling the truth, and then those that believe that they're telling the truth, and then there's those that are know they're lying. So somewhere in there, does it make sense?
Well, that middle one is one that's really kind of interesting, and it's kind of cool that you've noticed that there has to be that spectrum. In other words, if we're thinking the same thing here, it's like, yeah, these people could be having a real experience from some objective outside source or cause, mm-hmm. but that doesn't necessarily mean that the information they're getting is true.
Right.
But the overwhelming nature of the experience could be such that they automatically just believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you always notice how they come out of these situations with zero evidence, and they don't tell us anything we don't already know. It's
right.
Like, yeah, we know nuclear weapons are bad. You know, we don't need to be a nuclear physicist to figure that one out. You know, tell us something useful that we can do to make things better instead of just giving us these trite lectures on, you know, that we should treat the planet better and not play with nuclear bombs.
Right. Because if you go back to the 60s, I remember reading a book about some of the stuff that went on. They would have big bonfires out in the desert and try and contact aliens and talk about stuff like that. And it was really way out there. And you find out later it's connected to, you know, mushrooms that they were taking or something of that effect. And in no way am I discounting anybody who may have had an experience. I'm just saying you've got to have context on each and every story that an abductee has, and trying to work through and validate what's going on, and try again with the same with the, you know, people who investigate Bigfoot. There's a lot of garbage you have to sift through to find the gold, but it's out there. So
okay, but what about people that, okay, I'm not going to mention the name, but there's at least one or two fairly high profile people that have these excursions that they charge people quite a bit of money
mm-hmm.
to accompany them on out to observe and call down and make contact with aliens. And I think you probably know who I'm talking about, but
right.
I mean, do you think there's any validity to that?
You know, I don't necessarily want to step on any toes or anything like that, but I when it comes to anything, I've always been taught that when something sounds too good to be true and they're charging you for it, you really got to be careful. Because if I have, it's the same with, there's a lot of groups out there in the Bigfoot field. I know I keep going back and forth, but there's so many similarities between the two that charge people to go camping with them because they can call in Bigfoot and they can do this. And same with the contacting aliens. And if you really can contact aliens, if you can really do that, are you doing a disservice by charging people? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It wouldn't be a commercial enterprise anymore, would it? Really?
Right.
I mean, we would have, you know, something a lot more serious going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, so I would definitely be very wary of anything like that.
That is such a good point that you just made there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We wouldn't see these sort of dog and pony shows, would we?
Yeah.
You know, if that was really true, we would have some sort of I don't know if the UN would be the right venue or something, but there would be some sort of official presence,
right.
You would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I go back to the fact that about, oh, I want to say 7 years ago, I was in contact with an individual, and he seemed very genuine that he was what was called habituating a Bigfoot. You know, had all of these claims, and he said, you know, you can come out, and I'll show you. And I said, awesome, because that's right up my alley. And he says, it'll only cost you X amount of money. And then at that point, I stopped. I'm like, yeah, no, never mind. Sorry. Yeah. If you want validation, that's one thing. If you want money, that's another.
Do you think the Patterson film is real? What's your take on that?
A good friend of mine that I've contacted and talked to, he has done a lot with that film, highlighting, going through, showing muscle movement under the skin. The more that I look at it, the more I have a hard time believing that it could have been faked back then, just because of a lot of the stuff that they had back then. You can see the muscle movement underneath. Am I 100%, you know, positive? No. But if one is real, that's the one that I'm going to choose that's real, just because of the things that I've seen the close-ups and some of the stuff that he's done with it. I really like that one. And like I said, am I going to say 100%? You can never say 100%, but I actually do really like that one a lot.
John Olson, we're just about out of time. So I'm going to ask you, take a little time to tell our listeners if they want to know more about all the work you're doing and the work that you're continuing to do. Where do they find you? How do you like that? Where do they find you?
I like it. So you can contact me at my webpage. It's just strangerbridgerland.com. And there you can find how to get my books. My books are on Amazon. There's a Kindle version. There's the softback version. And I am currently in the works of getting them all done on Audible and audiobooks. Stranger Bridgerland, which is my first book, is available on audiobook on Audible. There's a place on my website if you have a story and you want to talk to me to contact me. I love hearing the stories and meeting with people and doing the interviews.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for The Paracast. If you look for The Paracast on Facebook, you'll find two places to spend your time. If you point your browser to theparacast.shop, you can find branded merchandise, four different logos for The Paracast. Pick the one you like with all sorts of interesting merchandise, from the shirts in many sizes, from Mini-Me to Richard Kiel. Richard Kiel, if he were alive today, would have found a shirt that would fit his 7'2" frame. Think about that. Theparacast.shop. Also, consider the After the Paracast podcast, which will feature John Olson this week with more discussion. You can find that if you check out theparacast.plus. Just sign up for a subscription. You also get a version of the show that is free of the network ads with enhanced quality audio. For more information about the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus. John Olson, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you guys for having me. This has been so much fun. It's just flown by.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend.